Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saint sincerity and stupidity.
Wait, did you do it during the playoff run?
I did. I ate Popeyes, but I didn't do red beans and rice. Well,
then the Seattle loss is on you. You didn't eat the beans?
What did you do? Mashed potatoes?
Oh, my God.
I did mashed potatoes.
All the time. It was Ralph's fault. We lost.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Ingram fumbling or Colston throwing a backwards pass. It was me. It was my crippled ass.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We're 6 days away from actual Saints football that counts, that's real, that's beautiful. So, Andrew, just go ahead. Just brag about your fucking UDFA adopted son making the team from jail.
Baby.
Just go. Just enjoy it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we adopted UDFAs this fall or this summer. Dave went with little Jordan Humphrey. Congratulations, Dave, on your adopted son making the practice squad after clearing waivers because no one wanted him. Congratulations to you, Ralph. Your adopted son was at least worthy of getting a waiver claim, and he's with the Jaguars now, I believe. So he's dead to you, right? I mean,
he is. He went to Jacksonville.
Meanwhile, Curtis Granderson, who has been in jail for the entirety of training camp, is received an exemption from good old our buddy, our good old pal, Roger Goodell, good friend of the show. In front of the franchise. And what do you know? We got 2 weeks with Curtis Granderson exempt and on the roster. I believe we have a clear winner. Go ahead and sound the horn, Ralph.
God damn it, dude.
You should be so proud. By the way, I'm sure Ozigbo is now living with some loser who has a mediocre Jacksonville Jaguars podcast somewhere in Florida.
Do you think they have an adopted son program on that podcast?
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best things we've ever done, and I think Andrew's UDFA adopted son making the team while a warden of the state of Wyoming is the most Saints Happy Hour podcast thing ever.
Well, and you know what's funny is like we might not have even like paid attention to this. Had Andrew not adopted him, you know, he probably would have been out of sight, out of mind, and we probably wouldn't have even been looking at the roster all training camp and even paying attention that he had even been arrested or in jail. But I do want to say one thing. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So talk to me in 3 years when Lil Jordan is lighting it up still with the Saints. And
you mean lighting it up in XFL?
Oh, he'll be old news. We'll have new adopted sons. You know, it's like a season of The Bachelor. No one cares, you know, what these contestants do after the show's over, if they get married or divorced or break up, you know.
So
not that I watch these shows. My wife does.
No. So Dave – yeah, it's all
my wife.
But Dave, if we had gambled actual money on whose UDFA son would make the roster, and we wanted to gamble on other things like football games this weekend, like Tulane being a 14-point underdog at Auburn, if we wanted to do such reckless gambling, where would we go? Dave?
Well, first, let me ask you
guys.
It's
not a lie.
Sorry.
Why are you?
I played the horn by accident. Just let it finish. I'm having troubles. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Well, let me ask you something, guys. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why you should go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. And let's face it, when you're betting is just as important as who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on. You know, for instance, if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code ARMCHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code ARMCHAIR. So visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
I feel like, Dave, that wasn't one of your better efforts, but I feel like it was probably because I was just knocking shit over like a bull in a china shop.
I was out of my – the whole train thing threw me off.
I want to give a quick shout-out to Super Deformed, who has joined us in the chat, I believe, for the first time.
Yeah, and he is a – he is a patron. And he has done a patron spotlight, which me and him just talked about the 1980s Bum Phillips Saints. It was amazing. Find it. It's somewhere. So the Saints did actual news, but semi-big news. They traded for Kiko Alonso, who, by the way, is a I mean, like, if you not that I'm into other men, not that there's anything wrong with that, but he is fucking good looking. Like, he is stunningly good looking, and he's apparently a dirty player, which whatever.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know, but what I was gonna say
we're there already. That's where we're going. We're going to Kiko Alonso is one sexy mother beast.
He's sexy. But we talked about
like
this
him better than Anzalone with the flowing lock.
I mean, I think he might be. Like, the Saints probably have the best-looking linebacker tandem in the NFL between him, between Anzalone and Kiko. We might need to get some music for Kiko.
By the way, AJ Klein is not an attractive man. Since we're talking about... I mean, I don't know. He just always stands out to me as like he's a little funny looking.
Yeah. So, I guess my question is: we talked about it today on the daily podcast, which everyone should. If you're not a patron, you should become a patron so you can get the daily podcast. I told Andrew Dave today that Mickey Loomis trading for Kiko Alonso, a starting NFL linebacker, and giving up Vince.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beagle is Mickey Loomis's greatest trade ever.
Yeah, I heard you say that, and I think you're giving Mickey way too much credit. I don't know. The Dolphins are, and you listen to the NFL Ringer podcast. I mean, the Dolphins are in total tanking for Tua mode this season, and they have been trading away
or everything,
getting rid of everybody. So this was. I don't think Mickey Loomis had to do much to get Kiko Alonso. I mean, the Dolphins are trying to get rid of everybody. They're cleaning house. They're rebuilding. They want young players. They want draft picks.
What? He gave up a special teamer linebacker.
No, I understand that. No, I understand that. And that's way better than giving up, a fourth or a fifth.
Forget about, like, the mindset. It's Vince Beagle for Kiko Alonso.
I understand that, but you have to come think of it from Miami's standpoint. They were probably getting rid of Alonso anyway. They probably wanted to get rid of him. So they're just as happy to just get a young talent, semi-talent, whatever, as they are for getting nothing.
Do you think we fleeced them harder when we got a draft pick out of them for Stephon Anthony?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The fifth round pick for Stephon Anthony.
That's a big win.
That's a crime, man. That's third degree larceny by Loomis there. I mean, because Anthony's going to be starting middle linebacker for the Houston Oil Derricks of the XFL next year. So somebody said AJ Klein's head looks like Patrick from SpongeBob. If you have kids, that's really fucking funny. So Andrew, you also plug for your grades. You made predictions for the 53-man roster throughout your grading process, which people can get for $10 a month during the regular season. You nailed some of these picks for the grades. You nailed a lot of them. But I was surprised that Chris Banjo didn't make it, just because the Saints gave him a little bit of money to keep.
I said that. I said he was on the bubble, did I not?
Yeah, you did. I just figured that, he hasn't signed with anyone, so he may be back. But what what of the roster, did anything surprise you?
So, the reason I thought Banjo was in trouble was JT Gray was just having such a great preseason, and he made the team last year. So I kind of said on Twitter that JT Gray has become like the roster cut down 53, like bottom end of the 53-man roster, Grim Reaper. Like, 2 years in a row, he's been costing people their jobs. This year it's Chris Banjo, but JT Gray looked really good at safety, very strong tackler. And then once again, on special teams, he's usually one of the first guys down. He's making those tackles. And so I think he's made a lot of progress as a safety. And I think the Saints maybe felt like, hey, we love Chris Banjo. He's our guy. We love him as a captain, but we feel like maybe JT Gray has made enough progress as a backup safety that, we would prefer him in the game if an injury happened to Marcus Williams. So I think that's part of the reason why you saw him make the team over Banjo. But, I think that the 53-man roster, none of it really surprised me. I also predicted that they might only keep two tight ends. Tom Stewart, I see you were surprised by that. I was not. Just because I didn't feel like Dan Arnold really is a tight end. I feel like Dan Arnold is competing with Kirkwood and guys like Emmanuel Butler. I don't really think he's a third tight end. He's more of
Is Dan Arnold going to be the new Bryce Harris, meaning he's going to be on the roster, off?
It's in play. It's in play, yeah. But, so I think really when you look at the Saints roster, the two biggest surprises, there's always something that catches you off guard. I'd say I was more on it this year in terms of my predictions than I am sometimes where I'm just way off. But the two tackles, so Greenridge and Omame, those two guys making the roster surprised me. I mean, Michael Olo was just injured, and then he was really bad. So, he ends up not making the team they're in. And, Newhouse was another guy who was kind of higher up in the pecking order, and he got banged up. So they end up kind of taking two younger players at backup tackle. And that's a little scary, because now I think if something happens to the tackles, it's probably Andres Pete that's getting kicked out again, because I don't think you can play those guys. And maybe they develop, but backup tackle to me, with those two guys being in the top 53, feels real shaky.
Dave, people were freaking out about the Saints releasing your adopted son, little Jordan Humphreys, and Emmanuel Butler at wide receiver.
And rightfully so.
but they both cleared waivers, and they're both on the practice squad getting a check. If I said to you, one of them is playing the first 3 weeks and is going to catch three passes, are you betting on your adopted son or Emmanuel Butler to actual? Who's going to catch a pass first in an NFL game?
Oh, now that's a good question. That is a damn good question. You see, Ralph, that's why you're the host.
That is a good question by me. Usually I just stumble over it and you say, is there a question in there? And I'm like, eh, not really. But that is a good question, so answer it.
It wouldn't be right if I didn't choose little Jordan Humphrey. I mean, I gotta stay with it now. But I mean, it could, you know, I don't know. I think little Jordan Humphrey is limited in like the routes he can run and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think Emmanuel Butler is maybe a little bit more of a complete wide receiver, but at the same time, can he be trusted? You know, we saw what he did in the preseason. He had a lot of drops. He was inconsistent. It's really the two of them. Honestly, I feel like they're going to be tied together as long as they're here in New Orleans. I'll go with little Jordan. This is a coin flip, really.
Andrew, what do you think they'll do at wide receiver the first against the Texans? Like, if you had to put money on it, who's going to be the guys that are going to be active?
Well, I think Kirkwood's still hurt, so I think we'll probably see more Austin Carr and Traquan in this first game. I think those two will be the more involved ones in this one.
Traquan Smith is a starting receiver for me in the Saints Happy Hour Auction League.
Oof.
And Adrian Brutal. Peterson is my starting running back, along with Deion Lewis.
Well, that's what happens when you spend a maximum amount of dollars on Jared Cook.
We went a little luxurious at tight end. Well, I admit it.
Hey, they only have two on the roster, so if they're throwing to a tight end this year, it's probably going to be Cook.
Dave, the one thing that people sort of, as I was off in the Mississippi coast Sunday morning, boating and drinking and that sort of thing, so my reception wasn't great on my cell service. But people were saying, hey, they traded for Kiko Alonso. Why didn't they go and get an offensive tackle? They need a backup tackle. And Andrew mentioned it before, you know, they could kick up Pete out. Ola was kind of terrible. Were you surprised that they didn't make another move besides linebacker? Were you thinking they, not what you were hoping they would do, but were you thinking, hey, they're gonna do this, and they didn't besides linebacker? Was there something that they didn't do that you were surprised at?
No, not really. I mean, overall, this is a pretty solid roster,
except for backup tackle.
Team does have a good backup tackle, though? You know.
Well, like, and I mean, like, you know, I mean, I guess, if they're going to do something like that, I would. The only moves I was assuming they were going to make is maybe claim somebody off waivers. You know, somebody that another team has dumped that was potentially a bubble guy. But I certainly didn't see them pulling the trigger on a trade for somebody who's, you know, could potentially be a difference maker, like Kiko Alonso.
Andrew, were you surprised of anything else that you thought they might do that they didn't?
No. It's like Dave said, I agree. I think it's a pretty solid roster. You know, I think there's just less surprises when they don't feel like they have to get desperate. I mean, the biggest surprise was just acquiring Kiko Alonso. I don't know that I saw that coming, but with Craig Robertson potentially out for a little bit. Sean Payton said he's day to day. I joked on our podcast earlier today that when you hear day to day with Sean Payton,
that means he could be dead.
He could be dead. Yeah. I mean. But Anzalone is also banged up. So, you know, it's just weird because if Anzalone ends up playing, where does Kiko Alonso fit?
I mean,
that's not clear to me where he fits. It's a good backup to have, though.
Man, to pay $5 million for a backup, that's a lot of money. Well, maybe not. But that's
sunk cost. I mean, the spending period of free agency is over. Like, it doesn't matter what they spend. As long as they're under the cap now, like, who cares what anyone costs?
Well, that's true. It's sunk cost. It's like ending a game with timeouts. Like, you do get to roll over some cap space for next year, but same point. You know, before we get to the Texans and week one games, I'm sort of not concerned, but I look at safety, and how do you guys feel about safety if Bell or Marcus Williams goes down? Besides left tackle, that's a position that I feel like we don't really talk about, and it could be a little bit of an issue if somebody misses some time.
Yeah, well, I don't even. I mean, I'm looking at the roster now.
I mean, you got the rookies. You got Saquon Hampton, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and then JT Gray.
Yeah, I mean, none of that is filling me with confidence. That's for sure.
Does Kiko Alonso have a made up boyfriend?
Does safety matter though?
I thought like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, like we were going to, like that's why Jairus Byrd got all that money.
Three safeties, baby.
Yeah, I thought the league.
Rob Ryan was going to get weird.
Well, I just thought the whole league was adapting and becoming a safety heavy defense, you know, copycat league.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I go back and forth, but I just feel like there's times where the Saints are playing so much single high safety. Where the high safety, in this case Marcus Williams, most of the time is like 20, 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage, that as long as he's a guy that can tackle well, like closing speed, being able to play the ball is less important because they're almost never getting an opportunity.
Well, here's the thing, though. Single high safety, would you feel okay if it's not Marcus Williams, if it's someone else? You'd be like, oh, it's all right.
As long as they tackle well, you know, and there's safeties that don't run that fast to tackle pretty well. So, and you can find those. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I mean, there's no denying the impact that Darren Sharper, he who will never be named, there's no denying the impact that he had on that Super Bowl run. But if you ask me, would I rather a better front seven? Would I rather better cover corners? Absolutely. You know, safety to me is it's great if you have Ed Reed, if you have a great one that's a Hall of Famer, but I don't know. I just think about all the other positions, whether it was Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, like all that whole vaunted Ravens defense. If you were to ask, you know, Brian Billick, who was the coach at the time, if you had to lose one of your Hall of Famers, which one would you want to lose? I think you would pick Ed Reed. I think you'd say, yeah, Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and the pass rushers and the front seven and our cover corners, they were way more valuable to us. That's my gut.
Somebody asked, is there anything left of value to poach from the Dolphins? We can give them Austin Carr.
I ain't giving up Austin Carr. Are you kidding me?
So here's a question.
But I'm looking at the roster. Some of these people, we've never talked about some of these people ever in the history of this podcast.
Hey, Dave, why don't you list some names and me and Andrew can see.
And Wes Horton.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Wes Horton when they signed him.
Yeah.
For 10 seconds.
Shy Tuttle?
He was on my list of players in my player grades who I thought would make the team.
He did. See, that's why you need to pay $10 a month during the year, because Andrew's going to grade every single player, and you can sound cool at parties.
Who the hell
you can drop
Shy
names
Tuttle?
Like Shea Tuttle.
If you read my player grades for that last preseason game, I named him as my defensive player of the game.
Shea Tuttle sounds like a villain from The Hills on MTV.
It's not Shea. It's Shy.
Shy Tuttle.
Wait, who else was there?
That was your mistake, Dave. You thought you were cute picking Little Jordan because he had a funny first name. You should have picked up. You would have won this competition.
Dude, hey, man. Hey. It was hard to make the team at wide receiver, okay? They had Austin Carr and Keith Kirkwood.
Shy Tuttle sounds like a bad decision you made at a strip club in your early 20s.
Wait, Ethan Greenridge, offensive line. What position does he play?
He's a tackle, and we have definitely never discussed him on this podcast.
Yeah, he's a tackle. There's your tackle right there. What, you're not crazy about Ethan Greenridge? Yeah, you haven't heard about all the plays he's been making this preseason?
Andrew, did you grade him? I wouldn't know he was on the Saints if he was wearing his fucking uniform.
I barely knew he existed.
Does he exist?
That's really it. Everybody else.
I couldn't pick Ethan Green. What's his name?
Greenidge.
I couldn't pick him out of a two-person lineup.
Yeah. So people in the chat room are talking about Blue Chew and where is Kevin. Well, Kevin's not with us tonight, but he's always with us in spirit because he has read the Blue Chew ad magnificently. So, Kevin, even though you're not here in spirit, why don't you tell us about Blue Chew?
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable.
Yeah, that's right.
With the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works in giving you a boner. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Aside from me reading this, it's made in the U.S. of A. America. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, A-R-M-C-H-A-I-R, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring this train wreck of a podcast.
I think Zion in the background made it extra special.
I'm on the screen. They got Zion!
It never gets old to me.
One note on Blue Chew. If you use Blue Chew and you send your receipt to saintshappyhour@gmail.com, we will reimburse you the $5 shipping. Just send us the receipt, and Armchair will do that for you, just so you know. Here's a question that...
Oh, Tom Stewart just dropped the perfect line. Is your Tuttle a little shy at game time?
Try Blue Chew.
Yeah. We got to work that in. That's
Andrew.
Genius.
Andrew is a Zionist. Andrew loves my Zion phone message even more than
me. I'm never deleting it.
And I love it so much. Here's a question that I try to answer in my WWL column, which, by the way, we'll post tomorrow. And I will be on the morning show on Monday, I believe, previewing the Saints and having Eric Paulson insult me. So tune in at 6:45 on Monday.
I already read Les East's season preview. It was much better.
You're a giant asshole, Dave.
Man, salt on the wound.
No,
what about today? Is today the worst day of your life? Yeah.
Hate you, Dave. I hate you. He wrote, and the thing is, like Les East, he wrote a history of the Zephyrs that I saw today. That's winning.
next year. I'm not even submit.
It's already over.
It's already over. It's done. He wrote an oral history of the Zephyrs. I'm done. But here's my question that I ask in my WWL column, and I asked it on Twitter today, and you guys can answer. And because here's the thing. I asked, what can happen in the Saints' regular season to make you happy? And I know people are like, nothing can make me happy except the Saints winning the Super Bowl because we got fucked in the NFC Championship game. I get that. We want to win a Super Bowl. We want to right the wrong that the refs did to the Saints. We want all that. But they got 16 weeks of games. So what can make you happy and enjoy 2019 and sort of make the NFC Championship not as horrible? And I'll start with you, Dave.
Drew Brees winning the MVP.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. He was robbed last year. I want to see him keep lighting it up. Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Andrew, what could make you happy? And people in the chat room, you can chime in. You can chime in too. What will make you happy in 2019 to sort of ease the pain of the NFC Championship before the playoffs? What can happen in the regular season to make you really happy and enjoy it more?
Of course, you know, I would love to just make the playoffs and make another run at this thing. So, I mean, that first and foremost, that's what I'm looking for. But, and I would be remiss if I didn't also say that going into Los Angeles week two and curb stomping the Rams would be amazing. I don't really hold the bad call against them, but I just kind of hate them now. Yeah, I just do. And, you know, we got revenge on the Vikings last year, and I want to get that on the Rams. But the one thing I've had my eye on historically for a while now is this Saints-Falcons head-to-head, because the Falcons own the head-to-head 51-48. So if the Saints sweep
Andrew, did you,
this year,
did you mention
it'll
the
go,
Falcons?
Just to make it 28-3.
I did.
Bryant knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it. Up by 25.
By the way, the Falcons kicker situation was such a fucking disaster. They cut Matt Bryant in the offseason. Their preseason kicking was so bad, they re-signed him last Friday.
That's amazing. It's so good. but, yeah, so it's 51-48 in favor of the Falcons. The Saints cut it from 51-46 with their sweep last year. So a sweep, first of all, they're going to play for the 100th time this year. Their first game of the year against each other will be the 100th meeting between the Falcons and the Saints in the regular season. And if the Saints can sweep this year, they'll cut head-to-head. It'll be 51-50. It'll be Falcons by one. So for a long time in my youth, you know, the Saints have really narrowed that gap with Sean Payton. I mean, for a long time, the Falcons led head-to-head by an appreciable distance. But a sweep this year would go a really long way to giving the Saints a chance for the first time ever to get close to taking that head-to-head. So I've had my eye on that pretty much for the duration of my fanhood, and I'm hoping that they can narrow the gap there. So that would make me very happy, sweeping the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, I want the Saints to ramp up their being a villain. And I want the media to be mad at them. I want scores to be run up. I want the bonk game to get crazy. I want Michael Thomas to ramp up his celebrations. I want Pete Prisco to have an aneurysm, is basically what I'm saying. And Drew McGarry said it last Friday. He's tired of the Saints fans wanting vengeance, wanting all this revenge. I don't give a shit. I want America to hate the Saints and fear them at the same time. Like, and that involved, obviously we want to win, but I want to win not with stuff. I want to win in a classless way that only Saints fans enjoy. And I want a bunch of Mondays, preferably early in the year, where First Take is about the Saints being terrible and running up the score. That's what I want. Andrew, you just asked the chat room, how much of the Falcons head-to-head? All of it, 5%. Maybe 40% of it was bad. We understood you, but you sounded like you had a brain injury. Like you sounded like somebody hit you with a hammer 7-8 times. Which is on brand for us.
Frustrating.
It's all right. So, before we get to the Texans, game predictions and things, I need to remind everybody, patrons, we started a survivor pool on Yahoo. Go, if you are a patron, we emailed you twice, but you can go to the Saints Happy Hour page on Patreon and scroll down. It's a post. Click the link and join, but only patrons can see that. You got to be a patron to play. The winner gets an extra large Saints Happy Hour t-shirt and your own patron spotlight episode if you win.
You're out if you get it wrong once.
You're out if you get it wrong once. And here's the thing: we have 200 patrons, and only 45 of you have signed up. So there's a ton of you out there that are patrons that haven't signed up. So just you got till Thursday night before the first game, before the Bears Packers kicks off, get in there and sign the fuck up. Do it. Super Deformed said, it's not a raffle. It's not a raffle, Super Deformed. Everybody can play in this survivor pool and somebody wins. And I guess it is a raffle. So, dude, the Texans, here's the thing. The Saints, Dave, have done some reckless shit under Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. Like, we're not even going to deny. Like, they trade away picks during the draft to move up every single year. It's not a matter of when. It's a matter of if and how much. But the Texans went out and gave the Dolphins 2 first-round picks for a left tackle and Kenny Stills. And they traded Clowney for a big bag of fucking nothing. So, how are you feeling about the Saints-Texans? Or have you not paid attention to the Texans at all?
I mean, I've been paying attention.
And Lamar Miller's out for the year.
Yeah. I've been paying attention slightly, and obviously I was aware of all the recent moves they've made, which, I mean, I think that's good for the Saints. You've got a lot of new guys on the team. It takes a little time for everybody to get used to each other, learning new stuff. So, I mean, I think that's only going to help the – you know, help the Saints. Obviously, Clowney is gone. I mean, I think that's great. Obviously, yeah, you just mentioned Lamar Miller, their running back. So, you know, I'm not going to say that this is going to be a cakewalk for the Saints, but it's a primetime game and it's in the dome. You know, obviously, I think we've got to be slightly concerned about you know, their quarterback, you know, just because
here's a fun stat about Deshaun Watson, Andrew. He was sacked 62 times last year. How many times do you think Drew Brees has been sacked in the last 3 years combined?
Less than that.
No, 67.
Oof.
So.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I mean, that's your combined. Young running quarterback versus not getting sacked no matter what, veteran, you know.
But, Andrew, explain
I think the Saints probably, I would assume their game plan is they're going to try to make Watson beat him. And yeah. I don't know whether he's up to that task just yet. So.
Well, here's the thing I wanted you to explain. Because, Andrew, you've had a theory about how Sean Payton defends and protects Drew Brees. And explain your theory about how you don't worry about the opponent when they have one elite pass rusher. You worry about teams that have two or more really good pass rushers. Explain that theory, and then do the Texans, where do they fit in now that Clowney's gone?
Yeah, well, we've just seen Sean Payton go against Khalil Mack or some of these big time guys. And when the Saints have had trouble up front, it's when the pass rush has been balanced, where they can sack you from multiple positions because they have a lot of guys that are good. I think Sean Payton does a better job than maybe anyone in the NFL of when he's facing a guy like Khalil Mack or one of those guys, where he'll stress the rest of his line and put them one-on-one, but he'll roll protection, he'll chip, he'll double team, whatever he needs to do, put help over there to neutralize the one guy he's really scared of.
So, before
let's
we get...
Let's not forget, too, that the Texans have former Panthers, Matt Khalil, Cam
Jordan. They have Speed Bump McGee?
They've got Speed Bump McGee. Cam Jordan once famously nicknamed him Speed Bump McGee. So that bodes well for the Saints.
I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Yeah, that bodes well for the Saints pass rush.
I do like that Super Deformed said that this is the most Ralph thing ever. He just said, the Saints are either going to lose by 10 or blow out the Texans. That is the most Ralph prediction. Ralph always says, I just have a feeling, Andrew, that this week, like, the Saints are either going to win by 25 or they're going to get crushed. Like, there's no in between.
It's true. Andrew, how many times have I either said that to you on a phone call or texted that to you in the last 5 years?
Maybe 20.
16 times a season.
How many games have they had during that period?
All right, we got some fun. We got some good questions from people. You can ask questions in the chat room. This might be the leader in the clubhouse, even though it's only week one, for question of the year. This is from St. Patrick, Dave. Is Andres Pete like the opposite of the old lady in The Notebook? Like, he's lucid most of the time and then loses all knowledge of what the fuck he's doing a couple times a game.
I mean, I've never seen The Notebook. Surprise, surprise. But
your wife? I've seen The Notebook 7,000 times.
She has seen it. But from what it sounds like, that sounds like a pretty accurate description. Yeah, yeah.
Andrew, is this? If I said to you, "Here's $150, go to my bookie." Is Andres Pete going to be on the Saints roster in 2020? What would you say?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they let him walk.
All right, this is from Steve, Andrew. Is it wrong that I want the Panthers to win this week? They face the Rams at home.
Ooh, no. I think if it was the Falcons, I would draw the line. But, and this goes beyond just like which team I hate more, right? Because I still think the Panthers are ahead in the pecking order of which team I hate more. But I think in the grand scheme of, like, we want the Saints to have a chance in week two, not to bury the Rams, but at 0-2, just put them in a really bad situation to start the year.
Yeah,
right, sure. After Jared Goff gets his $32 million deal a year, which he just got.
He got $32 million a year?
Yes.
Yeah, like
yes.
Today.
Like, I picked the wrong week.
He's the most guaranteed money in the history of
the wrong week. Quit sniffing blue.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was just announced right before the podcast. But, you know, I just think they've been fortunate being out in L.A. that most of their fans don't really give a shit. The media doesn't lay into them too hard. But, like, I just feel like the pressure cooker could get turned up a little bit. If they lose to Carolina week one and then they get beat by the Saints in LA, then all of a sudden it starts to become, especially if Goff has like two so-so games. I mean, I would just really enjoy that. Just to see the media start to turn up the heat on them a little bit.
I'm torn on this.
They just showed 4 years, $134 million total and $110 million guaranteed.
I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback, I guess. Dave, I'm torn on this. I think it's a great question. My thing is, I think I lean towards the Rams just because in the beginning of the year, I want the Saints to get out in front in the NFC South. And I know we look at the Rams as the Saints' ultimate competition for home field and that sort of thing. But man, if Atlanta could lose in Minnesota and Carolina could lose to the Rams and the Saints win on Monday night, boom, you're out the gate, you're one game ahead. And I just, but it's Andrew,
do you really view the Panthers as a threat though? Like, see, I actually think the Falcons could rebound because they have a good roster. And they do. I don't know that they. I want to say they scare me, but I view them as apt competition. The Panthers to me are a sinking ship. I feel like they're trending way down.
It's tough. I want at least one of Ron Rivera or Dan Quinn is going to get fired. One of them, both of them are not going to be back in 2020. That's my prediction. I hope it's Atlanta, but we'll see. Dave, this is a good question. This is from Hootat8484. My expectation for Alonzo are along the lines of my old expectations for Scott Shanley. Is that unfair or is that accurate?
My expectations are higher than that of Scott Shanley. I think, not that that's an insult or anything. I mean, Shanley played for years with the team, but all those years we were always waiting for somebody to come in to push Shanley and push him out and to be an improvement, and they never could find anybody to do
you,
that.
You know it's Shanley, right? There's no N on the E.
Shanley, what?
Shanley, Scott Shanley.
All right, well, I don't know. You say potato, I say potato.
You kind of went Ralph for a second there.
He did. Not full Ralph, like 60% Ralph.
I didn't go full Ralph.
It was like a mini Ralph.
But
like a troll version of a Ralph.
No, I mean, I'm expecting Kiko Alonso to, obviously he's a veteran and he brings in some leadership, but I'm expecting him to make a bigger impact in a shorter term. I don't know whether Kiko Alonso is going to be around for 5 years, much to
Kiko
Saints fans' dismay.
I don't know if Kiko Alonzo was going to be around
Paul
for 5 months.
Kruger, yes or no?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Here's a great question from Super Deformed. Andrew, what kind of car is Austin Carr?
A Hyundai Sonata?
No, he's not that nice of a car. He's like a 2007 Saturn with the third door. The Saturn.
Like an 8-year-old Ford Taurus?
Yeah. That's what he is. He's not, Dave, what most cherished item or person or pet would you sacrifice to keep peak Drew Brees on the Saints for the rest of your life?
I'll give you my firstborn.
Andrew, what would you sacrifice?
For a Super Bowl?
No, to keep Drew Brees on the Saints roster for the rest of your life. Like, you get peak Drew Brees for, like, the next 35 years.
So this assumes I'll actually live 35 more
years?
Yes. I thought this was one of these trick questions, where the genie is, you think you're making a good wish and then he totally screws you. So it's like Breeze retires at the end of the year and I die in a car accident or something.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So it's not a trap. It's not a trick. Okay. I would, for 35 years of Breeze, like, does this theoretical assume that he's also still good?
Yes.
20 years.
You get peak.
Are you listening to the question?
So he's maintaining his productivity.
He's maintaining being
peak
awesome.
Breeze for the rest of your
peak.
Life.
I gotcha. Peak. Okay. Sorry. I missed
Which
that
one
word.
Of your
okay.
kids yeah. are you sacrificing?
Yeah.
Both.
Thank you.
So what would you sacrifice, Juge?
Both kids.
Both of his kids.
Both kids. Jesus. I mean, I can't give up drinking because then Saints games just become so much less fun, right? So I can't give up drinking. And I can't give up this podcast because that's too much fun.
The thing is, like, as much as I love Breeze, though, like, I don't really care if we, I don't know if you guys feel the same way on this, but
wouldn't you want something really new in like 2030? Wouldn't you be like, I just want something new. I just, you know.
Well, yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, I root for the emblem. I don't root for the player. I mean, I like Drew a lot, and don't get me wrong. Like, I would love to see him win another one with the Saints, but if he doesn't get it this year and he retires, let's say, and the Saints win one with Taysom Hill or Bridgewater, like, that doesn't make me any less excited.
Wait, yeah. I have a qualifying question. How many shitty companies does Drew Brees shill for during that time period?
All of them. All of them.
Yeah, like, there's a potential benefit to this. We don't have to hear about Advocare and Jimmy John's. Maybe those go away when he retires.
He's talking some other pyramid scheme where they insert a chip into the back of your head in like 2045.
I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater would do this stuff to us.
Yeah, maybe. Here's a question from Dylan. Who wins more games, the Miami Dolphins or Ralph's fantasy team? That's mean, Dylan. My fantasy team is a 37.5 point underdog week one. Just so you know. I need Jared Cook to just ball on Monday night. So let's see.
I kind of feel bad saying I'd give up both of my kids. I would never do that.
I paid a lot of money
just
for
one of
my kid.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. See, that's the thing, Ralph. You could just buy another kid. Like, you could give him your kid.
Yeah, but Dave, I can't. I can't. All the savings is gone. Unless people start subscribing to the podcast and supporting us and getting us more money, then maybe I could purchase another kid. But now I'm
not. if you knew the Saints, you'd be like Biff in Back to the Future. If you knew that the Saints
had
were going to have Pete Brees for like 30 years, you would just keep betting on them and you could win a lot of money that way.
That's true. So I think that is the end of our questions. But I want to remind you guys, before we get to our first Saints pick of the year, to go to mybookie.ag, put in the promo code CHAIR, check it out. If you use a deposit of $50 or more, you get 100% sign-up bonus. And if you sign up and you put in at least $50 and you send us the receipt at saintshappyhour@gmail.com, Armchair Media will send you a check for $20. So go do it. All right, Dave, I will start with you. And one more reminder, go to the Saints Happy Hour Survivor Pool and sign up if you're a patron. Dave, the Saints, depending on what casino or you go to, are anywhere between a 6.5 and 7.5 point favorite on Monday Night Football at home at 6 o'clock. Against the Texans. The Saints have not won a season opener since the beginning of Obama's second fucking term as president. It's been that long. 2013 is the last time they won an opener. So, Saints, Texans, who you got?
Well, you know, we talked earlier about the game a little bit. I'm going with the Saints. I don't think that the Texans right now, I don't know. All these moves are very curious to me. I'm not sure why you do this at the beginning of the season.
Well, you do this because the Texans fired their general manager in the offseason, and they didn't hire a new one. So Bill O'Brien has all the power, and he's a coach on the hot seat. So he's just doing reckless shit, and he has nobody to tell him no.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether Bill O'Brien is the genius who should be making all of these decisions
fair,
by himself with no checks and balances. So that's how I feel about that. So, I mean, I think Deshaun Watson would have to play out of his mind, and I think that the Saints plan on limiting Deshaun Watson. And obviously, I'm assuming they're going to have a game plan for J.J. Watt. They don't have to worry about Jadeveon Clowney anymore, so they can focus on J.J. Watt. Hopefully he does it, you know. Zach Strief is now in the play-by-play booth as opposed to on the field. And while I love Zach, you know, I'll always remember that NFL Films game where Zach was – or J.J. Watt was mic'd up and he had some not-so-nice things to say about Zach or how easy it was to get past him. But anyway, So I'm going with the Saints. I digress. I'm going with the Saints. And I'm going to say, I'm going to, even with the points, I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to say, 35-21. 35-21 Saints. And I'll go with, I'm going to go, I'm going to go with, you know what? This is the first. I'm going to go with Kamara as your MVP.
No, that's not hype train.
No, not
Kamara's
at all. Not at all.
Solid pick. So, Andrew, who you got? Saints, Texans.
27-20 Saints. 7-point win. My player of the game. Go ahead and play the hype train again. Go ahead and do that.
Curtis Granderson.
My player of the game is Deontay Harris, baby.
Oh, my 20, God.
20, 5 minutes left in the game. Takes a punt to the house for the win.
Oh, my God.
Saints, oh, and of course, it's sealed by a beautiful pick by, we'll say, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, my God. Yep. Rookie's making plays all over the place.
It's either the rookie or it's Kiko Alonso that gets the game-winning pick.
I forgot what I said in my Channel 4 column as far as score, so this may be different than what I picked. But I'm going to say Saints 31, Houston 13. The Texans are going to be a fucking disaster. They're trying to work in a new tackle, Kenny Stills. They don't have Lamar Miller. Like, if the Saints can just stop DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson from scrambling, they can win. The Texans shouldn't be able to run the ball on them. Duke Johnson is a nice little running back, but he's not really a pound-it-between-the-tackles guy. I think the Saints are going to block J.J. Watt. The Texans' secondary is not that good. They don't have Honey Badger anymore. I think the Saints are going to do a ton of stuff. And my MVP is $182. Motherfucking Jared Cook is going to catch 9 passes for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns and lead me to a fantasy victory over whoever the fuck I play in the Saints Happy Hour League, Adult League. How about them apples, motherfucker? How about that?
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
So, we may have set a record tonight for most people in the live stream. We may be over 100. It says 27 are watching now, but I can see the little number. We may be over 100 for total for this podcast. And I just want to say, and I didn't tell you guys this before the show because I wanted to surprise you. Dave, how many people do you think listen to this little show in August?
I thought you had tweeted this out before. I was like 50,000, 60,000?
54,483. Yeah.
That's a lot
of fucking people for this little ramshackle audio deficient podcast. It is.
Well, I want top 100 in sports podcasts. That's what I want.
Come for the jokes, stay for the bad audio.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. I know
hope my audio was awful when I said that. By the way,
it was, man.
That would be really on brand.
No, that was the best you've sounded all night.
But I want to thank you guys, and granted, me and Andrew did a bunch of free shows to try to entice the patrons. We are $2 away from having a free gambling show for patrons only live stream Friday night. But I really want to thank you guys. It's great, and I can't, like, 50,000 to be in the top 130 on top 150 on sports for iTunes. It's just amazing. So it was a great August. We want to thank you guys, all the patrons, all the people that listen for free, even you people. It's been fun with the live stream tonight. I will be at the game Monday night. I'm flying in. If there's a delay of even a little bit, I will not make kickoff. So we cannot have bad weather in Houston, and we cannot have any fucking flight delays Southwest. I land at 2:10. I cannot have any delays. So thank you for that. But for Andrew, for Dave, for Kevin, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.
Hey, guys, we did it. We made it. It's the regular season. We're here.